Bless you, bro. Just going to mix it up a bit. Leave the important thing to last. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for every voice. We thank you, Lord, for every gift. Lord, we thank you for your children, and we thank you for love. We thank you for everything that's been spoken today, Lord. God, we thank you like BD, all of us, Lord, are equipped to go into the world and love the world and save the world and be part of your plan, Lord, as Ian said. Thank you, Lord, that DNA is written inside us. You know, today I just want to hopefully not take too long, and I just want to, I suppose, just go over again the fact that God said go. God said go over this world, over his children, over his people for thousands and thousands of years. In fact, from the very beginning, when God created this kingdom, this world, a perfect world, his kingdom, his will was done. There was peace, there was joy, there was no pain, no suffering, no sickness, and all that stuff. But then all of a sudden that world got polluted and people decided to turn their backs on that and walk away from that stuff. And because of all that, they had to leave this kind of perfect world. Well, even then, right from the beginning, God said, go. He said to Adam and Eve, go and multiply. And then he said to Noah a few years later, when the world had got so bad that he had to start again, build an ark. And then the point came when he said to Noah, now go into the ark with your family so we can start again. After that, a few years later, a man called Abraham. Abraham was in his father's nation where there was many gods and many different beliefs. And God came again and spoke to Abraham and said, go. Go to a place that I'll show you and leave all of this stuff behind, but go. And then Jacob, a descendant of Abraham, eventually go. Go back to the land of your fathers. And all the way through history, and you can read all this in the Bible, but basically the Israelites get captured and they're in Egypt, and Moses, who's brought up in Egypt, and he runs off into the wilderness, and then the day comes when he meets God and God tells him to go. Go to Egypt. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go and pull them out of that land. And so he does. He goes and he, through the power of God and the reality of God in his life, he gets these people out. They go to the Jordan River, they go to the Dead Sea or whatever it was. And Moses says, what am I going to do? How can I get them to cross? And God says, just tell them to go forward. So he does. And then in the wilderness and the journey of the wilderness and all the miracles that happen in that wilderness, eventually Moses dies. And God raises up a new leader for this people called Joshua. And it comes a day where God says to Joshua, now go. Go into the land that I've promised. Go into the land that I promised Abraham. Go into the land that I've promised for you. And God told the kings and the priests and all the prophets from the generations after that to go. Go tell my people. You know, all of these commands, every single command to go was really so God could fulfill his promise. So God could fulfill the promise to give these people a land so they could become a nation, like it said, so he could deliver and provide this Savior that he'd promised. And that this Savior would come exactly as he'd promised. And be born as he'd promised. In the way that he promised. And after all these kind of commands to go in Israel for about 400 years, it was like God was silent. And all of a sudden God spoke again. And he spoke to a man called John the Baptist and he told him to go again. Go into the wilderness. Go and separate yourself completely from this world and everything in it. And then the day came where he said to John, I've given you a message. And this is the message, and I want you to go back. I want you to go and stand in that river Jordan, probably where Joshua stood years before. Come out of that wilderness. Go and stand there, and I want you to share this message. And this is what I want you to say. Basically, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You know, if we kind of modernized John's message, it would be something like this. This nation, this world, its political systems, its religious and social orders and everything else is in the grip of the devil. This world is broken and its citizens are following a fallen king. But you know there's another kingdom that's coming and it's on its way. And this kingdom is going to come and invade this world and destroy this world and everything that's in it. And this kingdom has a new king. This kingdom's not a kingdom of this world. It's a heavenly kingdom. It comes from a different place, and the king of this kingdom is Jesus Christ. But you know, to all of you citizens, this king wants to declare good news to you. He's not coming to destroy you. He's coming to declare peace to you, not war against you. Peace is the message of this king. And this king is the king of all kings. He's the king of a kingdom that rules over everything that you can see and everything you can't see. And he's giving you a chance to be part of it. He's giving you the opportunity to be part of it, like Sandy said. If you repent, if you'll change the way you think, if you'll change the direction of your life, and if you'll come and join me in this water, if you'll bow your knee to this king and change the way you see this world's systems and see the way things happen in this life, if you'll change the way you see all of that stuff, the leaders and your affiliations and everything you belong to, if you turn your back on all of it and acknowledge that you're just not going to give up some stuff, but you're going to die to it all, that you're going to die to the world and the devil. In a sense, you're saying, I've had enough of this life. Would you please just bury me? Then I will. And I'll plunge your body under this water. Not just as a symbol, but as a spiritual burial. And as a message to this world and the devil that you're declaring your death. And you're renouncing your citizenship and every right you have in this world. But you know, when you do that, just so you know, this new king also brings people back to life. Those that follow him, they come back from the grave. And what comes up out of that water, it's not the old you. It's a new creation. It's a new citizen of a new kingdom. It's a member of a new nation. And this kingdom has nothing of its of your old kingdom inside it, nor any of its ways. Like Carl said, its mannerisms, the way it thinks and acts, or any of its allegiances, the power and the rules and a life for this kingdom come from another realm, and it's a heavenly realm. And that kingdom is here right now. So who wants to repent? Who wants to surrender their life and die to this world so you can live in God's? And the Bible tells us by the thousands that people came, and they get in that water and he baptized them for a repentance of their sins. And they went away. And then Jesus comes along and Jesus walks into the water and he gets baptized by John. And John said, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. You're the king. But Jesus said, no, we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And so that's what he did. Jesus got baptized. He came out. And he began preaching the same message, but just with a little difference. His message said, the kingdom's here, and so is its king. And I've not come to destroy you, but to save you. Before I come back to destroy this world, I'm giving you the chance to be part of it, to receive all of its blessings, to receive all of the richness of this kingdom, its peace and its love and its provision and its health and all the benefits that come from it. Like a refugee who comes from one nation to this nation for what we can give them as a nation. You get all of that. But at the same time, what comes for it is a cost. Because this world that you're a part of, the systems that you're a part of, all the things that accepted you and fed you and all these other things, all of a sudden, the moment you come up out of that water, they're not your friend anymore. In fact, they're now against you. They won't be for you anymore. So, who wants to follow me? And so some people did follow Jesus. They lived with Jesus and they learned from him and they understood how this new kingdom operated, how you lived in this kingdom, how you belonged to this kingdom, how it looked, how it worked, how the citizenship of that thing looked and how people from that kingdom lived, how it operated, how you were in this world but not of it. And then Jesus died on the cross, as we all know. And then he rose again. And when he rose again from the grave, he met his disciples and said, in a sense, follow me. Follow me straight to my kingdom. But you know, on the journey, before you get there, I want you to go into the world with my message. And the message had slightly changed. And now, basically, it was like this. You know, this world's fallen. And there was a kingdom promised. That kingdom's here. We've met the King. We were witnesses to him being here. We were witnesses to what he did and what he said and what happened wherever he was. We're witnesses to the truth of this message, to everything God's promised. We're witnesses to that. You see, this King came here and he lived and he defeated absolutely everything. Every enemy you have in this world, he destroyed. He overcame it all. In fact, he took every single thing that opposes you and your freedom captive with him. And when he died, it was as if death had won. But death couldn't hold him. And he couldn't hold him down because he had this life inside him. This life wasn't of this kingdom. It was of his heavenly kingdom. And so he rose again. Just like you do, will do. When you come out of that water after you've been baptized. And after he rose again, he defeated our greatest enemy. He defeated death. And now this King sits enthroned on high as the King of kings and the Lord of all lords, right at his Father's side. And now, as his followers, as citizens of his kingdom, we're filled with that same heavenly life and that power. We're operating under his power, and we discharge his rule into this world. As his ambassadors, we go around and we declare to you what he's told us to say, which is peace to you and to your household. You know, Jesus came to sozo your life, to save your life, to heal it, to restore it, to make it whole, to restore it back to what you should have been, to take your value, which isn't all these labels you live under, but actually to restore you back to your original value, which is this perfect, sinless son or daughter in a garden with a father. And that's what he came to do. But will you allow him to do it? Will you surrender? Will you take his offer as peace? You know, his fight isn't with us. His fight isn't with you. It's with the system that fills you. It's with the system that we represent. The system that imprisons us. And he's come to set us free. And when you're free, God will adopt you as his son. And the world's systems will hate you and your message as it hated his first son, Jesus. But don't be afraid, because he'll be with you. And wherever you go, or no matter what you face, he's already overcome. You know, there's much more I'd like to say about his love, about his peace, about how he restores everything, about how he's the lighthouse in every storm, about how he takes your fears, how he can equalize any life, how he takes the most horrific life and the most peaceful life and makes them the same. How this King brings equality like this world doesn't even know what equality is. There's many more things to say about the glory of this kingdom. But I suppose the question I want to ask is what Sandy's already just said this morning. Is there anyone in this room right now who wants to surrender their life? Who wants to turn their back on this system, this world, the way you are, the way you function? Who wants to say, I want to give up on this world. I don't want to come and enter this kingdom of heaven. So if there's anyone here in this room that wants to come and be a part of this kingdom of heaven, this isn't a river, but let's imagine it is. I'm going to ask you to do something, which is what the disciples did, what Jesus did, what we've all done. And I want you to come and stand in this river, or even just come and sit on the front. As I'm speaking, I don't mean right now, but as I'm speaking, if you want to come and give your life and surrender it the way I've just said, and turn your back on it all, and don't just have this King to come and save you from yourself, but to make this King the Lord of everything you do, to turn your back essentially on who you are and embrace everything he's got for you, then the chairs are empty in front of me. And you can come and sit on them and fill them. And you say to Jesus, I want to be a part of this kingdom. I'm sick of this life. Please just bury me. And he will. And when you get back up, He'll raise you anew. And so Jesus then said, go. You know, I love you, dude. I love you. And I love you too. But I know you. I'm so happy you're here. You know, Jesus said, go. Okay? Jesus said, go. Go. And the bottom line is, he's never said anything since. He hasn't changed his mind. It's still the same imperative to every single ambassador and citizen of this kingdom. We've just got one mission to go wherever you want, wherever it is, as long as it's not into willful disobedience and sin and to some dark place where actually the kingdom isn't and you're not supposed to be, go. And when you go, tell them about this kingdom. Tell them about my offer of peace and love them and all of these other things. And so today, as citizens and ambassadors of this kingdom of heaven, which is who we are, there's another question. Are we really? I'm not speaking to you as some dude pretending I've got it all going on. Like Ian said, sometimes I go cold and sometimes I go other things and sometimes I do things I shouldn't be doing. And actually, I do things that are contrary to what I've said I actually believe in. I don't walk this earth like someone who has a Lord that is unseeable. I walk about as someone who's a Lord unto themselves. You know, when Jesus, just before he was crucified, they were given a choice, these people, crucify Barabbas or Jesus. Jesus represented purity, sinlessness, the kingdom. Barabbas represented the world, anger and greed and fighting and death and everything else. And in that moment, the people shouted, give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. I'd rather have the world than that kingdom. You know, often when we choose the world, in a sense, we're saying, give us Barabbas. I want the kingdom. Maybe we're all guilty of that. I don't know. But I know I definitely am. And that's why we repent. And so as we go as this kingdom, and in a sense, I'm just repeating what God said today. That's it. The world needs you. The world needs all of us. We've all got gifts. What Beedy is doing isn't because he's got some unnatural gift or ability. He's just releasing what God's put in him. That's all he's doing. That's that. That's it. He's just letting God out wherever he goes. So I just want to share some practical points with you. Is there anybody else? Even if you've called yourself a Christian for years, and I'm serious, this isn't about appearance. This isn't about what we think or what we see. This is about reality between you and God. Those people who jumped into that river that day in front of Moses and the Pharisees and all of that stuff, I'd imagine some of them probably were religious people. But they realized, actually, I'm outside of this kingdom. I want to be in it. So I don't want you to sit here today under the oppression of appearance. You need to be free to acknowledge who you are before your King and come before him and serve him and bow the knee to him. And if you need to be up here with these guys, these men, then I'd encourage you to join them. It'll be the most freeing thing, in a sense, you'll probably ever do. And I'll leave that there. So all I want to do quickly is I just want to share some ways, I suppose, that I've learned how we can start beginning to just talk to people, reach people, how we can start doing some stuff. You know, often I can stand up here and say things, and we can all do it, can't we? Go and do this and this and this. And And actually, it's like, hold on a minute, I can't even look someone in the face. Never mind, pray for them. I can't even look in someone's eyes, never mind, talk to them. And so we have to start doing something. We you know, a guy, I can't remember his name, said, you know, the church is full of the most sociably awkward people in the world. And you're telling them to go and do the thing they can't actually do, which is to just have a conversation with people. So what I want to do is deal with you on the fact that we're the most socially awkward people on the world planet. And start from there. And so, just some tips, all right? Here's the first one. Carry the life of this kingdom in you wherever you go. Can I just give you a story? Okay. A few years ago, we went to a caravan camping. It was raining. It was raining a lot. We had little babas. I was setting the tent up. It was a massive tent on my own. I'm not a tent guy. It stressed me out. I was angry. I'd just stopped smoking. I was just hit the gym. So testosterone was all over my body. I remember Rebecca, who was little then, saying something like, "Dad, can you?" I was like, "What?" And Stella said to me, "You know, you either start smoking again or you still go to the gym." So I didn't start smoking. I gave up, praise God. But the point of it is this. The next day, we were talking to these people, and our Rebecca started playing with these little girls. And as I went over just talking to them a little bit and started speaking to them and talking to them, and it turned out this lady had lost her 5-year-old son. And as I was speaking to her, her partner had lost his 5-year-old son. And these were together as a couple. Now, when you're faced with this real life, this is real life. And in some sense, your gospel message loses its power in that moment. You know, and the questions on their heart isn't, what about this or that? It's why? If there's a God, why? Why this, why that? And so I took the time to just say, look, we've lost babies and I don't understand why. But what I do know is what. I know what God can do out of this situation. I know what God can do to get you out of this situation. And I know that death isn't because of God. It came through the devil and the fall of man. Maybe you need to ask a different question. Not why, but what. On that note, this dude jumps out of his tent, who I'd seen watching me put my tent up, walking around his tent, smoking his fag. And then he went, "Yeah, I agree with that, you know. I'm a Christian, me, like." I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, you know, you need to do this, do that." And I just thought, hold on a minute. This was me 3 months before. I stunk of fags, full of myself, all this other stuff. And actually what he did was just kind of rip a few wounds open, not heal some stuff. And I tell you, I walked away from there and I thought, you sat and watched me struggle with however many kids we had then, in the rain, putting my tent up on my own. At no point did you even lift a finger to offer to help me. Listen, this is the Christian I was. So you know what I'm saying is, let's carry the kingdom, the life of God, and not the death of this world. You know, we can watch movies and other things, and maybe this dilutes us a little bit. Maybe instead of carrying 100% of the kingdom in that moment, we meet somebody, what we've got is 90% of the kingdom and 10% of, I don't know, Fast and Furious or Grand Theft Auto or whatever else it may be. Maybe we might have 50% going on because we've just been out in a club the night before. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, can we be affected how much we kind of shine? Can our oil and the lamp and how brightly we burn, can it be dimmed by the way we live? I think so. And so actually, what we should do is carry that life of that kingdom like Carl was on about all the time. We should present our bodies 100% to God as a living sacrifice, because he bought them lives. And in a sense, it's only right that we keep them for him to use. The second thing I want to say is this. Don't fear. You're part of God's kingdom. All the time when you read it, he says, don't fear, don't fear, don't be afraid. Have courage. Joshua, you're going to go in this land. It's full of all sorts, but don't be afraid. Fear comes straight from the devil. It's not a godly feeling. And it's the devil trying to make you scared and frightened. It's not part of your natural DNA. There's some healthy fear, fear of God, fear of other things, but they're a different kind of fear. So don't be afraid. of actually crossing a room, as that book said, if, for those of you done Route 61. Don't be afraid to go where you feel the darkness is. When me and Martin and Carl were in Spain, I felt God impress on me. Someone in this spiritual shop had a bad back. And as I was outside, this demon pushed me over. You remember? When I fell over on my bum outside that shop. Anyway, I fell over like a big fat 40-year-old, not a 21-year-old. So I realised in that moment, actually, I've got old. So, but I got up and we went in this shop, and actually, it's like this spiritual shop. And I'm not saying everyone's going to do this. I'm saying you just hear God and don't be afraid. And we went in. This guy did have a bad back, and we prayed for them, and we blessed them. And this other woman was there, and we blessed her. And then you're just moving in all of the gifts God's put in you, and, you know, spirit of suicide, and all this other stuff is just flowing. But it all came from the point of just going and not being afraid of it. You know, darkness only exists in the absence of light. If we turned all these lights off, it'd be pitch black in here. But the moment a light goes on, it's clear and it's bright. And that's what we are. Martin said the other day, you know, we're all kind of, in a sense, lights under a bowl and a city under a hill. And I think that's a prophetic word, that it's time for us to put the bowls out of our lives and put this city on a hill, so we can shine just like this lighthouse into this world, so people can see us, so the people in the darkness can see a great light. The third thing is just recognize we're just sowing seeds. Jesus said it, just simple, sow seeds. The farmer sows a seed. He doesn't understand. He goes out night and day and he watches it and he can't see anything happening. But one day he looks out of his window and there's something there. He didn't do anything. He didn't water it. He didn't make the roots grow. He did none of that stuff. God did it. That's us. We're just sowers of seed. Countless hours I watched videos with you, didn't I? Remember? I tell you, countless hours. This is Dave. I used to have a job, and honestly, at the time, he was like my best bud. And we watched a load of stuff together, but our lives are so contrasted. But the heart of him was amazing. And actually, but even doing that was just sowing seed. It's just seed. And today it's bore fruit. Not because of anything anyone's done, but because God's his dad and God loves him, if that makes sense. So just throw it about. Throw the seed about wherever you can. Jesus loves you. Bless you. I'll pray for you. Margaret goes in a bank. I mean, honestly, all this in my heart, I caught once when Martin was in a car with me. We were going somewhere. And he said to me, Martin went to a bank. Margaret went in the bank. There was a woman with a bad hand. And she said, oh, I'm going to pray for you. And they went out the shop, prayed in the car. She went back the next day. This woman was buzzing. I've been waiting for you to come back in. My hand's better now. It's simple. It's just simple. It's love and it's action and it's sowing seed. So let's just sow seed. Is Hillary Barnes in here? I don't know if she is, but anyway, Hillary, we were out on the streets and we had a load of different testimonies, drugs, all that stuff, and people are out there talking to these people. But I had this life, I had that life. This guy sat there and said, yeah, but I've just lost my wife. I don't give a damn what life you've had. It's irrelevant to me. I don't care how bad you were. It means nothing to me. I've lost the woman I spent my life with. And then Hillary said, it's hard, isn't it? I lost my husband a couple of years ago. And in that moment, that guy connected. Just like Russians, Stuart's Russian on the beach. There was a connection. And in that moment, then when Hillary asked, can I pray for you? She said, yeah. He said, yeah. And that seed was sown. It's just seeds. The next thing is just ask yourself, what would love do? God is love. Like Carl said, it's love is how he knows us. As citizens of his kingdom, his banner over us is love. And in a sense, we have all the love we need in him. We don't need love from anywhere else. We've got it all already. So actually, it just releases us to go and love people free of charge. You know, and if you don't receive my love, I'm not going to put an account against you. A black mark. Oh, flipping heck, you rejected me. I don't like you anymore. Because I've given it you for free anyway. It doesn't matter. It's just free. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. It doesn't seek its own. It's all these things it is. And this is how people of the kingdom live. They live love all the time. So what would love do with people? You know, our house we're in now, our ex-tenant was in very bad in debt and different things. And there's a lot of people knocking on our door. There's guys with gold and chains and a lot of things I don't like, if I'm quite honest. And I'm having to face this at the door, and Stella's having to face this, and it's not stopping. It's things have been took out, loans since they've left, and fines months after they've left. And so yesterday I hunted her down on Facebook and sent her and her husband a letter. And I suppose, is that what time we are? Okay. Right, we need to stop for coffee, don't we? But anyway, basically, I know people always say this, but are we literally all right if I go at 12:05? Is that okay or not? Like, seriously, is that okay? All right, because this is important, I think, just to teach us something a little bit or show us something. And I just want to share with you what I wrote, okay? I was angry, I was upset, I was all these things. But I just put, look, I'm sorry to bother you. Same time, I've not. We've been here for a while. Originally got loads of mail and debt collects and everything else. Looking for your wife due to, you know, other things. We dealt with all of this. We put the mail back in the post, explained you weren't here. We knew where your mum lived and we didn't send them on to their address. We didn't speak to your daughter, who we know is at the same school as our child, like your granddaughter. After all this stuff, we thought it'd stop, but it hasn't. So basically what I've just said to you, we get more stuff and this and that. So listen, it's impacting our life. It's starting to do our heads in. You know, we want you to do the right thing. Do the right and honourable thing. And then I put this. You know, listen, I'm an ex-organised criminal. My family were drug dealers. They went to prison when I was a child. I've been around criminals all my life. I spent 5 years in prison myself. I get it. And I understand how life can just snowball out of control. Today's happiness becomes tomorrow's prison. I prayed for your wife when we met and wasn't sure why, but now I know it's for her peace and to bless her. We're not angry. In fact, my heart goes out to you. All I'm asking is you please do the honourable thing and stop doing it. I genuinely hope this finds you well, and I'm sorry you've had to write this. So basically, she then wrote back and said, I've had money issues, I've divorced my husband, it's not my daughter's fault, it's not my person's fault, I'm sorry this happened, I can assure you nothing else has been going on, etc., etc. I'm truly sorry, all my addresses will be changed. And I said, that's all well and good, but frankly, the loan was took out after, just the truth. It has been going on afterwards. You know, but personally, it's none of my business. So I just said this. I want you to know, we forgive you. Also, personally, Jesus said, come to me, everyone who's weary and heavily burdened, and I'll give you rest. That word all includes you. Thanks for your response, and sorry life has hurt you and destroyed another good person in some way. And then I hope you find peace. She said, I really hope I find peace. And I said this, God says he keeps those in perfect peace, whose minds, that means the hearts as well, are stayed on him. Honestly, that's all I know. Ask him to help you do life and renew your heart and give you wisdom and let you be his child, and he will. Ask him to forgive your mistakes and heal your hurts and help you to forgive, and he will. Ask him to help you to love him, yourself and others again, and he will. And ask him to fill you with his Holy Ghost and the Spirit of his Son, Jesus, and he will. And finally, ask him if you can enter and become a citizen of his kingdom where Jesus is Lord, if you're willing to die to this world's systems, etc. And he will. All I know is I've seen hundreds of lives changed, including my own. And when you put your trust and faith in his reality and his love for you, and you come to him just as you are, he's there. As the old hymn says, he's got the whole world in his hands, and that includes you. All you have to do is reach up and he'll put his hand in yours and make you a new creation, quite literally. It's kind of a miracle. It's better felt than tell. All I know is I did it in prison and he set me free from me, and I've known peace ever since. We'll be praying for you. And basically she said, thanks, that means a lot. That's just love. So listen, meet people where they're at. Talk to them about football, whatever else. And when God leads, spin it to the natural. That's point number five. You can talk to people about everything and anything. We often do. If I spoke to anyone of you, tell me about your weight loss plans, your work, anything. Do the same thing. Use your natural points of communication. Six fingers, see the small things. Notice people's name tags. See the need in life. See the orphans and the widows and the poor and the things Jesus said. See the nursing home when God leads you to go into it as you walk past it. See little things. See someone's name. When someone's serving you their food, call them by their name. See the little things. Start practicing it. It's weird and it freaks you out, but it gets their attention and it makes them feel good, I think, when I've done it. And the seventh thing is this. I just want to read this quote that I read yesterday. It's about being hospitable. When people don't gather in droves for stadium crusades or tarry long enough on the sidewalk to hear your gospel spiel, what will you do? Where will you interact with the unbelieving about the things that matter most? The answer was, invite them to dinner. And so, to close, go, step out. Reach out as ambassadors and release your authority on this earth. Don't get paralysis by analysis. Stop thinking about all the things that could go wrong and will go wrong and what to do right and everything else. I've been there and done that and it doesn't work. Just go out and start doing it. Start wherever you can, with whoever you can. And just know that his kingdom is in you. He's with you. And wherever you go, he's there with you. So let's stand to our feet and we want to say the Lord's Prayer together. There may be some people in this room who don't know this Lord's Prayer anymore, so I'll say a line, and if you repeat the line after me, is that okay? So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today all we need, and forgive us all of our naughtiness. And we forgive those who've done naughty things to us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from the evil of this world. For yours is the kingdom that I want to be a part of, and yours is the power that I need in my life, and yours is the glory that everything my life achieves belongs to you forever and ever. Amen. Dave.
Right, just go through the notices. I'll try and be as quick as I can. Today is our church lunch back at the main building. We've got, hot roast pork sandwiches today. So, suggested donation of £2 for adults and £1 for the kids as hot dogs for the kids. Fruit salad, fresh fruit, or cakes. Sort of like for dessert that we bring along. And in 2 weeks' time, it's curry or savoury mince, and my favourite thing, bring trifles. So that's the lunches. Going on from what Paul said, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was massively challenged by that. And Alpha, you know, we're praying and having faith for 100 people to come through the doors. So, you know, that throw them seeds. I'm going to be more bolder this week, I know I am. But I was thinking during the week, you know, the Queen has two birthdays. We have two birthdays as well. We have a natural one where we were born, but we have another one where we give our lives to Jesus, to God. Let's get some people having two birthdays. Why should the Queen have them all? We've got the conference coming up. Starts on Friday the 23rd and runs through the Sunday. Tickets are available, £5 session, and you can get them at the help desk, which will be back at the main building once we've finished here. We've got Route 61 starting on Thursday the 6th of October. Again, sign up at the help desk. And this time round, it's going to be £5 a week, and it's 8-week course. But that money goes towards the weekend away, which this time is going to be at Ampleforth Abbey. It covers all the food and the accommodation, everything for that weekend. So it's a fantastic course, Route 61. So if you feel you need to sign up for that or you want more information, ask at the help desk. So Prayer Mountain, that starts on Friday the 30th of September. It'll be the last Friday of each month. And when Martin sort of like first said about the Prayer Mountain, I was thinking about it, that he was talking about the small bits first, which make most of them like volcanoes that can only go so far. But then when you get to sort of like K2 and Everest, the big, big ones, they only come through two plates coming together. One of them has to submit and go under the other, so that gets raised up. You know, and I've been thinking about it like, you know, we need to sort of like submit to God, and he'll raise us up, he'll push us up, and he'll go with that. So, you know, encourage you all to go on the Prayer Mountain bit. And just quickly to finish, there's going to be another prophecy group starting with Chris Dodsworth and Allery. It'll be starting first Tuesday in November. And the heart healing group, which my beautiful, wonderful wife does, with Pippa Dodsworth, will be starting on that Tuesday as well, and that'll run for 5 weeks. I think we're done.
Okay, just quickly, we need to go straight away into our building rather than hang around here. So rather than hang around here chatting to people, if you go straight down to the other building, it'd be great. It's a donation for the food. It's not compulsory, so if you haven't got any money on you, don't panic. If you're here for the first time, you're very welcome, guys. And for Route 61 as well, it's £5 a week. But if money's a problem, come and talk to me and we'll sort something out. Okay? Brilliant. Should we go? Pork sandwiches. And I need some guys to help me. We've got to take these four round tables down to the other building as well. Okay, thanks.